that day I live in a dream.
Welcome to Only Trying to Help, the podcast where we try to help you be helpful to other people. I'm Kate Watson. I've brought back a guest who you may remember. Randy is with me again today. Randy, would you like to say hello or reintroduce yourself in any way?
Sure. Hey, everyone. I'm Randy Rubin. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 15, 13, and 10.
Randy, I was thinking about our last episode, and I'm not sure this one is terribly different. Last time you were on, you were speaking about being a great advocate for your children. And I loved what we explored about, you know, telling their stories and getting them the right resources that they need, no matter what. Like at the end of the day, that's all you really care about is getting your kids' needs met. And then I reached out to you again and said, do you want to come on the podcast again? Because I was thinking about doing an episode around, being the best parent you can be when you're also co-parenting with an ex. And you said, yes, I hope you have no regrets now that you're here. But I guess, you know, maybe we should explore trying to be the best parent you can be in this kind of tricky context.
Yeah, no regrets at all. I think it's definitely a challenge. You divorced your ex for a reason, right? We didn't get along. And how do you make sure that, you know, as you decide along the way to make decisions for your children, that you're really making all your decisions, not for selfish reasons, but for the best interest of your children?
I can just imagine some situation comes up. You've got to now work with your ex in a way that probably you wish you didn't have to. And your ex has his needs, you have your needs, and then mixed in there, you've got to keep in mind what is really best for your kids. Like, how often does that come up? Is it every day? Is it every week?
It's so regular, whether it's every day or every week. I can't put an amount to it, but it happens all the time. And it's not only co-parenting with your ex, it's also co-parenting with your ex's new significant other and him co-parenting with my significant other because I am remarried, and really coming together as four parents for the kids. And you just can't be selfish. You just have to really think what is best for your children. I mean, it comes up all the time. It could be that, you know, it's my ex-husband's parenting time and I have great plans to go out on a double date with another couple and one of the kids gets sick and can't go because they need to stay home and rest. And so, you know, things like that come up all the time because as we know, kids are virus breeders. And, you know, sometimes you do have to cancel your plans and, you know, make those changes for your children.
You know, we use the word co-parenting, but I don't know if it ever really works out that it's 50-50, maybe in some magical place, but like even my husband is co-parenting with his ex. So I have a stepson and although they are, I'm going to use air quotes here, although they are co-parenting, I mean, let's be real. His ex-wife is shouldering so much more of the parenting than he is. She's the one who's getting called from the school when there's a problem at school. She's the one who has to leave work when my stepson is sick. And so, yeah, we could call it co-parenting, but I'm not sure that it ever really is. What do you think about that?
I think you're right on target. I think the divorce agreement may say that it's 50-50 custody, 50-50 for school decisions, 50-50 for medical decision-making. But really when push comes to shove, if you're the parent of primary residential custody, which I am, you wind up, you know, taking on more responsibility than their father, or maybe it's the opposite in other people's situations. But you know, when it comes down to it, you have to make a decision what's best for the child, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll just give an example. You know, your child's sick and someone may think like, oh, well, it's his parenting time. He can deal with his child when he's sick. Why should he only get to parent when the kids are healthy, right? But, you know, when you think about it from what's best for the child, you know, if the child lives at home primarily, you know, 90% of the time, and this is their home and this is their bed and this is their comfort and this is their mommy and this is, you know, Is it really best for them to go stay at their father's house for the weekend when they're not feeling well? Or is it better for them to stay at their primary residence with their mother? Or like I said, in the opposite situation, maybe it's the father. And what is best for the child in that moment, not being selfish and thinking to myself, I want my free weekend, you know?
Yeah. I guess I'm also thinking like, there's the best interest of the child, and then there's the best interest of the other children. Because in your case, you have three, and you might be thinking, well, I don't want to give up my free weekend where I was supposed to be childless, but I'm also thinking the other two kids who are not sick might like to have a weekend with dad where they get to go do stuff. And so maybe keeping one sick child at home allows them to go do fun things. I don't know. I'm just off the top of my head here thinking that there may be many competing demands.
Absolutely, spot on. I mean, the other two kids would have to stay in at the house all day throughout the whole weekend if your one child needs to rest, and that's not really fair to your other children either. You know, they only get to see their other parent, you know, let's say it's every other weekend in my situation, and why shouldn't they have fun and go places and do things and be able to enjoy the time that they have with their father?
Yeah. I'll bet anyone listening who's going through this is just nodding along and saying, of course, best interest of the children, obviously, of course, yes. And I feel like we should respectfully admit that that's hard to do, right?
So hard. It's probably the hardest thing I've had to do as an adult is co-parent. It's not easy. It's actually literally one of the hardest things in the world. You know, we're not together for a reason. And to have to agree or compromise with someone that you have trouble getting along with, is really hard. And you know, it's hard to it's hard in general to put the kids first, when you barely ever have any free time to yourself. But it's so important because it's not, first of all, it's not the kid's fault that you got divorced, right? They have two parents that love them. They love their other parent just as much as they love you, right? And it's so important that they spend time with that parent. Yeah, I just think that, you know, we really have to focus on the kids and not necessarily on ourselves. The way we have it is, you know, we follow the divorce agreement to a T. However, if one of us needs an accommodation, we do our best to make the accommodation, thinking about what the children need. If we can't both agree on making that change, then we stick to whatever the agreement says. But we, you know, I happen to be very lucky that my ex feels the same way as me about looking at everything for the children. I don't know that everybody has that.
Most people have someone who's claiming to do that, right? Like, who wouldn't? Who would say, no, it's not the best interest of the children. You should care about me. I don't think too many people say it out loud. And yet, I think a lot of people are thinking with their own best interest in mind. And they either don't know that they're that selfish. Maybe they lack the awareness to realize just how selfish they're being, or they know and they just won't admit it. But I think most people out there are saying the words, it's what's best for the kids. It's what's best for the kids. And they'll say that until they're blue in the face. It doesn't mean they're acting in the kids' best interest.
I was going to say, actions speak louder than words.
And I'm going to guess that resonates with a lot of people listening. They might be saying, yeah, my ex says it all the time. Doesn't mean, he or she is acting in that way. So I guess it really calls upon us to get in touch with like our better selves. Like sometimes I think there's like a there's Kate Watson and then there's like a higher version of me somewhere. And sometimes I think I got to get in touch with that higher version of me. And maybe that's what, parents who are co-parenting with an ex need to do is like find the higher version of yourself. Any thoughts along those lines, Randy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes I have to step back and say, am I making this decision for me or am I making this decision for my children? And you really do have to do a lot of self-searching, you know, like look into your inside yourself and see, you know, are you being the be best version of yourself for your kids? And I think it's hard also for like my husband, for example. It has to be hard for him to he chose this life, right? Like he made the decision to marry me, knowing me, I had three kids, knowing that there's an ex involved, but he has to sacrifice a lot, right? So he also has to do his best to make choices for the children before himself. And I think that my ex-husband, he's engaged, he has a fiance, and she also has to do the same. And we are, we're both lucky that both of our significant others do that. But it's definitely challenging. And I don't know that everybody has that. Sometimes when there's a significant other involved, maybe there's an issue where they don't want as much money given to the other partner for the child, or they don't want, as much time spent because they want to go on vacation. And really having not just the two parents who are co-parenting think about what's best for the child, but also bringing in those other two parents that are now involved in the child's life as well.
I'm stepmom here, and I'll tell you, Randy, one of the hardest scenarios is when, like, I hear my husband on the phone with his ex and they're getting into an argument, and I actually think she's right. It's like it's a really hard situation because he'll hang up the phone and look at me like, "Can you believe her?" And I'm like, Yeah,
Was
I mean, sometimes I have to say, I don't know if you're in a place to hear this, but I see her point of view right now. It's tricky.
just wait till she hears this podcast.
I wouldn't mind her knowing that. I probably should just tell her that, because I think that could be helpful for her to know that, like, we're not just slamming the phone down and gossiping about her all night. That oftentimes he hangs up the phone and I say, "Take a deep breath. Let's try and see it from her point of view." So yeah, she may hear this. I don't know, but that's a tough conversation to navigate as the new wife. Like, I think your ex-wife has a really good point in what she's talking about.
Yeah, that definitely has to be hard. I don't know that I can say that's happened in our situation, to be honest with you. There are times where I think my ex's fiance is right and my ex-husband is wrong. I can tell you that.
So it's a little similar. And the truth is, I mean, my goodness, we would be on for years, you and I, recording this, if we tried to go into every little avenue and nuance and situation that could come up there. We couldn't, you and I couldn't begin to capture all of the weird shit that happens when people are in these complicated relationships. We're going to scratch the surface of some of these little things, but I think what might be more helpful for anyone listening is just like some ideas that you have about, just how to get ourselves in a good place to do this. I mean, it's hard to function as an adult on a normal day, but when you have to do it through an obstacle course, it's extra hard. And I don't know, you may not have the answer to this big question, but like, how do you do it?
I think one of the things that helped is, at a very young age, my children had, I gave them cell phones. I found it really difficult to allow my children every single night at 8 p.m. sharp to call their dad every night. And he was very focused on making sure that that phone call happened, which he should be because he wanted to talk to his kids. I give him a lot of credit for that. But it was really hard for me to just hand over my phone at 8 o'clock. Every single night, if even if I was in the middle of doing something and I was using my phone, it was like 8 o'clock sharp, he wanted to talk to them. And so one thing that I did is at a young age, I bought them cell phones so that they could speak to their dad whenever they want. It doesn't have to be 8 p.m. It could be as soon as they get home from school and they want to talk to their father, they can call their father. And it wasn't them constantly asking me to use my phone to call their father. They want to speak to him, they should have access to speak to him when they want to. And that may be hard because some people are like, oh, my kid's too young for a phone. There's definitely phones where you can set it up where they can only call their father or they can only call their grandparents. So there's definitely options. You don't have to have social media and all that on the phones. But that's something that definitely helped us with co-parenting was giving unlimited access to have him call them and them call him.
Just we had a similar experience in our house, which was, Dave's son had to go through mom to get to Dave, and it became just tricky to navigate. Like, Hey, could you give him your phone right now? I really want to talk to him. Or I'd like to send him a picture. Could I send it to you and you will show it to him? And that just became an extra strain on everybody. Like, did you really show him the picture? I don't think that you really showed him the picture I sent him. And so, yeah, I remember saying a year or two ago, I cannot wait until he has his own phone. And like, we don't have to do this anymore. And if he just wants to call you, he can call you. And if you just want to call him, you can call him. And so it is a game changer, that access.
Exactly. And it also opened up access for them to keep a strong relationship and bond with their grandparents, right? Because if they're only visiting their dad every other weekend, well, then they're only seeing their grandparents every other weekend. And maybe prior to that, they were seeing them more frequently. So it really opens up access to grandparents, cousins, aunts and uncles, just gives them the ability to have that connection with their other side, right? Because that is their other side.
What about this idea of having someone who, I mean, no one's objective really, no one's unbiased, but someone who maybe both parents trust, who you could like run things by and be like, am I being unreasonable here? What do you think about that? Like, is there a person in your life who you can check these things out with and be like, you know, I really think he should take his son this weekend, even though he has a cold? Am I out of line? Do you have anyone you can talk to about that?
I mean, I can talk to my mother and I can talk to my husband. I feel like they give a pretty unbiased point of view, and kind of put me in my place when I'm not thinking what's best for the child. So I think yes, I do. I don't know if everyone does, but I think it's important that you have somebody that you can bounce ideas off of before you give a knee-jerk reaction and say no. I think that's really important.
I was just thinking that. And it must be in some situations hard to find that person who will look at you and be like, you're being ridiculous. You need to cut it out. And you're folks listening, if you have that person in your life, count yourself as lucky that you have someone who will knock you down a peg.
Exactly. It's like you need that one person that when you try on an outfit in the fitting room, they're like, no, that's not flattering. You need that same person for co-parenting.
I think so. I think so. Anything else come to mind, do you think?
I think that when you think about school, oftentimes it's the mother or the primary residence that gives all the signs, all the paperwork, gives all the contact information. Sports, same thing. I think that it's super important, and one thing that I found really helped with co-parenting was giving access to everything to the other parent. And I'm not talking about just to help, it's not just about helping the other parent, but if you think about if you give access to all the sports apps, for example, and they know all the practices and all the games, I mean, your kids want their other parent to watch them. Right. And if they don't know in advance, like you know in advance, they can't plan their work schedule, their life to be able to attend those types of events. So I think it's really important to give full access to, the teacher's email addresses, any communication that happens between the school. Same thing with the sports. I don't know whether it's, Team Snap, Sports Engine, Game Changer, all these other apps that we use for different sports. But not just having your own information on there, but having your children's other parent on there as well, and even the spouse as well. So for example, my husband and my ex-husband's fiance is on there as well. It's great when they can call your child and say, how was your game today? Did you score any goals? Did you win? Without the child first having to contact them and say, I had a game today. So it's really nice for the child to feel that their other parent is invested in their sports and invested in their school. They can look on, the school website that they use, Google Classroom, and say, oh, I see you had a math test today. How did you do? How do you think you did? Or even, go in and say, I see you have a social studies test next week. Do you need help studying? Rather than the child always having to come to their parent to ask for help or to tell them some great news.
Randy, I'll bet that actually helps you too, because you probably don't run into the situation where your ex says, "Why didn't you tell me he had a game?" You can be like, "Hey man, I gave you access to everything. So don't come to me and say I didn't relay the information." I'll bet it's like a win-win for everyone.
1,000%. It used to be that I would have to send the schedules, or every time we made a doctor's appointment, I'd have to send an email or text and let them know when the appointments were. If you just give them access, they have all the information, and it's really best for your children, right? So that it's a win-win.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I think on this podcast, we should back it up and answer some of the like kind of obvious, maybe stupid questions. And the question is like, how can we put it into words why it is best for your kids that you and your ex get along? Like we say it all the time, but I think it might help a few people to hear why. Why does it matter that you're not speaking ill of your ex in front of your kids? Because Randy, I'm going to assume we agree that it's better not to be putting down their dad right in front of them. But why?
Absolutely. I can tell you that I'm not 100% innocent. I do my very best to never speak ill of their father in front of them, ever, ever, ever. Has it happened over the past 10 years that we've been divorced that I may have said something in front of them? It's possible. But I was always taught, when we first got divorced, I went to a therapist and they said, never speak poorly about their father. Let them build the relationship with their father that they're meant to have. You never want your children to resent you for any bad relationship that they have potentially in the future. And you have to remember that that is their other parent. They helped make your child, right? So I can tell you there have been times where we have disagreed in front of the children, whether it's trying to figure out a weekend schedule or a vacation schedule, and we have a disagreement. We do our best to never fight in front of them, but there are some times where we have a little bit of conflict on the phone trying to come up with a plan, and the children hate it. They really hate it. So I think that, to your point, kids want their parents to get along. Kids want their parents to be married. They want their parents to live under one roof, and they are already dealing with the fact that they're not. So at the very least, what we can do for our kids is at least try our best to get along in front of them.
We've also, not you and I, we, but myself and other guests on this podcast have talked about how, when your kids grow up and they are adults, they will face conflict. I mean, they're going to face conflict as children too, but largely any of us, we tend to approach conflict the way our parents did. That's just well known that, if you think about the way you fight with people, it's probably what you watched your parents do as a kid. And so it's not that, we can't ever have conflict in front of children, but we ought to be teaching them how to do it well, so that they know how to have healthy conflict in the future. And so certainly there's going to be disagreements in front of your children, as you've already admitted. And I think you have the choice there to either role model for them, hey, here's how you have a disagreement in a really mature way, or you can role model, here's how you can be nasty and do low blows.
And that's exactly how it is. I mean, we may be in the car all together and I'm on the phone with their father and we may be disagreeing on something. And one of my children may say, "Stop fighting, stop fighting." And I'll say, "We're not fighting. We're just having a discussion. We're not agreeing on what we're discussing and we're trying to come to terms with an agreement that works for everyone, but it's not fighting. It's having, we're disagreeing and we're coming up with a plan." I think you're right. We have to teach our children how to appropriately handle conflict.
And it might be difficult, but they might watch you struggle in the problem solving. But again, what you can role model for them is, look, you're watching me struggle, okay? But I'm not gonna quit. We're gonna keep problem solving, Dad and I, because we can do this. We can do it. And I do wish more people thought about that. I get a little concerned when people say, oh, we always have our disagreements behind closed doors. I'm like, well, then your kids think that like the right way to be is to never argue or to never disagree because they never see you do it. Watching a little bit of disagreement and problem solving is really healthy, and it sounds like you're doing it in a way that you can do in front of your kids and still feel proud of.
Absolutely. They need to know that in a relationship, you're not going to agree on everything. If you're agreeing on everything, then it means that you're hiding your true feelings because you're not a clone of the other person. You have to have your own mind. And so you need to have arguments in order to, express yourself and come up with agreements. And it's something you have to learn, and you have to learn it as a child. So what better way than to teach them by talking to their other parent?
There's got to be times, Randy, when you feel like you're trying harder than the other parent. Does that ever come up? Okay, I just watched you react to that. Yeah, you kind of threw your head back. Well, I could keep going, but is there something you would like to say about that?
Well, I just think it's hard when you're the parent of primary residential custody and you're doing all the doctor's appointments and all the therapy appointments, and then their other parent criticizes the way you're doing something. And it's like, well, if you feel like you can do it better, then do it yourself, right? You know that you don't want them to take over because you feel like you're doing a good job and you're doing what's best for your child, but it's really challenging and hard to hear someone criticize the way you're doing it when they're not helping.
I think to a degree, this is true in all relationships, right? Like, even if it's in the workplace or wherever, there are times where you feel like you're being the bigger person and the other person is not giving as much as you are. And that can be so frustrating. And it makes a lot of us just want to say, forget it. Like, I'm going to stop being the bigger person if you're not going to meet me in the middle. But I guess to the listeners, I would say if ever there was a time for you to just stick it out anyway, it's when your kids are involved.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have to keep pushing through, do what's best for them, and just proceed that way. I mean, that's the number one goal, is that you're doing what's best for the kids.
Probably some folks are listening, thinking, thank goodness I'm not the only one. Before we start to wrap up here, was there anything else you really wanted to say that you didn't get the chance to say?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered it all. I hope we were able to help others who are trying to co-parent, think more about the children and what's best for the children, and not always focus on themselves. Although focusing on yourself is sometimes important, but really, you really have to focus on the children and what's best for them.
And I think we probably covered a tiny fraction of all the scenarios that we could have gone through, but I'm not sure if that's even useful for us to sit here and be like, how about this other time? And then there was this other time, and then there was this other time. We could go all day. I think the bigger point is all of us need to call upon that higher version of ourselves and do what will make us proud and our kids proud and let the other, chips fall, I suppose. Thank you again for doing this. Now, when we got together on Zoom today, you reminded me that last time we recorded, we thought, it might be nice to do this again back where we met, because you and I met in Barcelona. How lucky are we? And I'm just gonna, every time we do this, I'm just gonna drop it at the end of the show. Like, are we gonna make that happen one of these days?
Listen, I'm ready whenever you are. You give me a date and a time and a topic, and I'll meet you there.
Okay. Well, I've got my trips kind of lined up for 2024, so I don't want to tease you too much to expect it anytime soon. But I don't know, maybe in the next couple of years we can figure out a way to set up a microphone and just do this there.
I think it would be awesome. I'm in.
Since that day, I live in a dream.